92.5 The Soul. Here's Kelly Finley.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to the Community Roundtable. I'm Kelly Finley. Hope you're having a great November thus far. You know, we're inching closer to the holidays, which makes people very thankful and grateful and thinking about their future. So my guest here, he's covering all three. I'm excited to have him here. As I do each Sunday, I have my guests introduce themselves and tell you which business they're with, and then we get right to the conversation at hand. Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly, and thank you for having me on your show.
You are absolutely always welcome, especially knowing what I know you're about to talk about in detail. Tell them who you are.
Well, I'm Kimberly Jones, born and raised here in Mobile. I've been away now for about 38 years, almost 40 years I've been gone, but I've traveled all around the world. I've had various careers in the military, entrepreneurship, nonprofit. So I've done so much. And now, with the culmination of my latest book release, this is my way of giving back and sharing what I consider some nuggets that's on a very, very important topic.
Okay, I love that because a lot of people want to save money. A lot of people want to make money. Yet a lot of people have backgrounds where they've been doing other things.
Right.
And as you get older, you know, your interests change and your priorities change. And so the fact that you're coming on to talk about salary rich and retirement poor. Invest, retire, and relax, salary rich and retirement poor. Before we get into that, though, you mentioned being from here. So where did you go to high school?
I went to Tobinville, LaFleur, so the last class of Tobinville, and we'd technically say the first class of LaFleur.
My husband is a Rattler as well, class of 83.
Okay, well, you know, they probably want to claim the first class of 80.
I understand. Yeah. Either way, we family.
But we're all family.
I love that. And so, and you mentioned being in the armed forces, which branch?
Air Force.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
We have a huge military contingency, you know, here, veterans and family members and supporters who are always so proud to support. And I like to mention that because my guess, when you have that local connection, we want to support you even more.
Right.
So money, dollars, finances, how in the world did you get into this and make it so understandable for the common person?
Just out of necessity, out of experience, you know, just having so many trials and tribulations myself, you know, as being a young man in my 20s and going through a divorce and having marital debt and child support and not making a lot of money, you know, I had to figure some things out pretty quickly. And the one thing that I figured out that I didn't know at the time, it was just intuitive, was the snowball effect.
Explain that.
So I was deploying overseas to support Desert Storm, Desert Shield. And my mother was over my finances. So I gave her very specific instructions. I had this list of bills. And I said, I wanted you to pay off of the lowest bill and work your way up to the highest bill.
Mm-hmm.
But then whatever is left over from when you pay off the first bill, apply it 100% to the next bill.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I returned in 6 months deployment, I was debt free.
Wait, how did you come at that point, you're how old?
23, maybe 22, 23.
And maybe from an armed forces standpoint, that may be considered older. But in the rest of the world, that's pretty young.
Right.
That you're already thinking like that. Where did you get that from?
It was just out of necessity. I would say desperation.
Uh-huh.
For me, it made sense.
For not just the now, but for the future.
But for the future, exactly.
Okay.
You know, I realized the importance of having good credit. You know,
repeat that one more time.
I realized the importance of having good credit. If cash is king, then credit is most definitely queen.
I like that. That makes so much sense because I know, and I've shared, I'm very transparent. I remember in college coming down in the quad area, and you've got all the people set up with credit cards. Hey, you want a free water bottle? You want a free t-shirt? Well, yeah, I want that.
Right.
You get a credit card, $500. Really? Okay, cool. And, you know, you're just shopping and buying, and, hey, I'll pick up lunch for this person, that person. And if you're not thinking right, you're feeding everybody, but you're starving you.
Exactly.
But sometimes, I'm talking about self, it takes you many years to understand that credit follows you, your name follows you, and when you're trying to get another credit card,
right,
you're impacted by those free t-shirts and water bottles.
Oh, most definitely. Right? Yeah, and credit card debt, unfortunately, is one of the leading causes of debt issues in terms of the stress that many people, you know, face. They just get over leveraged with debt, and they have no way out. You know, at least they think they don't have a way out, and it's just, each situation is differently. But there are some baseline approaches that, similar to the snowball method. I recently spoke at the University of Northern Iowa, and I conducted a scholarship. And what the students had to do, they had to read the book and identify three takeaways from the book, A Salary Rich and Retirement Poor, and how they will apply it in their life.
Okay.
So guess what was one of the primary takeaways that the winner selected?
What?
Snowball effect. She said it spoke to her. She said it made so much sense in the way that I explained it and broke it down to her. Mm-hmm. She said she started it, and here's the beautiful thing. She passed it along to her mother. So that was so touching for her to share that when I brought her up on stage to present her with the check.
Well, and it's safe to say pride is very much wrapped up mm-hmm. into people healing and moving forward because... You know, when you're in your 20s, you're like, I didn't really know. But, you know, 40s and 50s and still dealing with the same stuff you have been, you're embarrassed. And you don't know where to turn. And you sometimes your colleagues or your peers, they're doing great. And you're thinking, well, they're going to look down on me if they know that I need this help.
Right. But you know what? Surprisingly, I don't know if I'm like a finance whisperer or something like that. But people trust me to have those personal conversations. And I'm blown away every time. Every time someone say, you know, like if I tell them the title of the book, they say, that's me. Salary Rich and Retirement Poor. And the reason why I named the book that, most people make the most money that they're going to have or their wealth is coming from when they're working. But what happens when you stop working?
That'll stop you in your tracks.
Exactly. So, and the average, you know, time horizon for most people is 40 years or more.
Of working. And you know, this is not a political show. However, I will say the mess that's happening on a federal government level.
Right.
You're talking about, will there even be money left for you?
That's a whole nother story because now you have to understand how inflation works. You know, essentially, the federal government has a free fall to print their own money.
Mm.
So when you can print your own money and you're controlling the interest rates of the banks, you know, the rest of us who are out here who really don't understand how money works. See, the wealthy understands how money works.
And they're real quiet about it.
And they're very real quiet. But now, you know, they're quiet, but they're kind of like in your face. They're showing you how to do it. Now, with the advent of social media now,
right.
There are so many things that are out there that you can pick from and observe. And it's like, whoa. All of this is going on.
You got to do your own research because no one's going to hand it to you.
Right.
But you also have to do, when you do your research, you have to make sure people like you who will talk about your background from a you know, educational standpoint, but people are reputable.
Right.
Because you can't do a Ponzi type scheme and think, well, where's all my money? You know what I mean? You have to be smart about your choices, and that's why people like you matter, because you're clearly trusted, and people are dropping their guard because you don't use those judgy eyes.
Right. Well, no, I mean, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, my father worked at the shipyard, and from there he grew his business, what I call Nights and Weekends, very similar to what I'm doing. And my mother worked very closely with him. She was an educator. She was going to school at South Alabama when we were children. And, you know, he was able to grow the business where he could actually, you know, fire his job.
And that's something.
And
there's nothing like working for you.
And this was in the 70s, so people ask me how and why I get that entrepreneur spirit. It came from watching my parents, you know, grow a business, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, you know, Jones Electric, you know, say woo-woo, you know, employed a lot of people here in Mobile. My father, you know, he had the contract for McRae's when they first built it, you know, the new tunnel, he had that, you know, and that was just, you know, unheard of back during, you know, those time frames. But I watched, you know, what he and my mother went through to make it happen. And then, of course, Reaganomics happened. And had they had better counsel or had the knowledge that I know now, mm-hmm. man, the things that they could have done and taken it to a whole nother level, you know, so fast forward, my wife and I work very similar. You know, she has an economic background. I have a business background. So we make it work together.
That's beautiful. And the fact that what you've learned, you're making sure to teach the next generation.
Right.
That's really important. I always believe that. I always say, like, I'm blessed because I help bless other people. It's not meant for you to hoard that. And finances, it's not a sexy topic.
It isn't. And I always have to give a shout out to my wife. So
yes, do that.
You
do
know,
that.
Well, most definitely. Well, she was the first person that I met that had a portfolio. So I was 24.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when she, how did you have that conversation to even know she had a portfolio?
Well, we were dating and we were, you know, getting very serious, and you know, especially once we moved in together and decided we were going to get married, you know, that's a conversation that every young person should be having, even older people, you know, because you're marrying someone else's credit.
Ooh.
You're absorbing their debt, so their debt is your debt, and that's what I call the adult discussion. Mm-hmm. It's needed, and so we had it.
And I want to emphasize that if you're with a really good partner and they have better credit than you, they're there to help you get to where they are. It's not about why did you do this. It's about, all right, we're a team. And because your numbers impact mine and mine impact yours.
Exactly.
That's how it should be. So you having that very healthy conversation, then you realize she has a portfolio.
Right. And see, back then, we didn't have the internet where you can just look everything up.
Right.
I literally recall going to the bookstore and buying this thick book that had every stock and mutual fund in it, and I had to do my research.
That's right.
So I selected what I thought was the best possible, you know, funds for myself and funded my investment account.
Hmm.
Well, This is going into the 90s.
That's very early.
This is going into the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And I received a statement, and it has, you know, a figure on it that I have never seen before. So I had like 6+ figures sitting in an account. I thought it was an error. I actually called up the brokerage company and told them, hey, listen. They was like, no, Mr. Jones. He's like, no, your funds grew. I got in at $20-some a share, and it rocketed up to $150-some a share.
Okay, so at that point, okay, you've got 6 figures.
Mm-hmm.
You're still new to this, but obviously you're blessed with a talent that you're still realizing.
Right.
If somebody else is in this position, what do you tell them? Because the average person may say, I need that money right now because I want to go buy this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to flex, I got to floss.
Right.
What do you say to them?
No, stay the course. You know, because what... You know, compound interest is a beautiful thing. You know, Albert Einstein was once asked, what's the greatest force on earth? He said compound interest. Because with compound interest, it's time is the greatest friend there. You know, so not only does your principal make money, the interest on the interest make money.
Your money's making money on your money.
Exactly. So the sooner that we learn how to invest early on, you know, by the time you hit your 40s, you already should have, you know, close to 7 figures or 7+ figures, depending on how aggressive you've been and what funds and what the market is doing. There's so many different variables, you know, but historically, if you close your eyes and you put your finger onto any chart for the stock market, it goes up. It's going to have its ebb and flows up and down. But if you go back 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you put your finger on a chart, mm-hmm. it still goes up. Mm-hmm. I remember when the stock market was at 3,000.
See,
it's at 30,000 now.
Okay, but when you say stay the course, all right, somebody's 18.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, let me make them 20. 20 years old, they put their money in there and they see it grow.
Mm-hmm.
When you say stay the course, what does that mean? Does that mean 10 years, 20 years? Does that mean retirement? Does that mean... What does that mean? I need you to break that down.
Well, retirement looks different for everyone, but the the longer that you leave your money in play where you don't disturb your wealth curve, the greater your account is going to grow. So where the financial education comes in is that at some point you need to touch those funds. So how do you touch those funds? You know, what vehicle, how did you invest those funds? Did you use a Roth where those are after-tax funds that goes into an account and everything that grows into that vehicle is tax-free? Or do you use tax-deferred like a traditional employer-sponsor 401k where you don't pay any taxes on the front end, but you pay taxes on the back end? Well, the wealthy has figured out that, hey, listen, we're going to not pay taxes on the front end, and we're not going to pay taxes on the back end.
Right.
You know, because they set up, you know, charitable family foundations, and they transfer those wealth, you know, to their, or,
And those are the same people I have a problem with, the same people who tell you, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right.
And you were born owning a home because your grandfather's grandfather left that to you, and the acreage and the business that you and your spouse have because the two families merged. But you're going to tell somebody else to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah, that's hypocritical.
Very much so.
You know, so, but when you're talking about what I call the everyday people, and that's the reason why, you know, I've came back here to Mobile to kick off my book tour.
Yes.
Because I was born and raised here. This is, you know, it started off for me here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that what I've done and I have accomplished is the best thing, because there's so many different ways to do it, but at least I can share some insights that may help inspire someone, you know, in high school, in middle school, yeah, or even in, you know, college, or a young adult, or someone that's in, you know, their 40s and 50s or even 60s to say, hey, listen, I haven't done all the right things for the last 30 or 40 years of working. What are some of the things that I can do now to help smooth off that road?
It's never too late to learn.
It's never too late. And the first thing that we have to do is start paying off debt. You know, and not trying to keep up with the Sallys and the Sues and the Joneses, no pun intended.
No, absolutely. And again, you get that as you get older, because I think you're young and carefree. You're like, oh, it's fine. I can spend my money on this, that, and the other. And then as you get older and add children,
right,
maybe go through a divorce, maybe two or three, then get remarried, and then you maybe you've moved. You start looking at how did you best spend your money, and why do you have zero really to show for it?
Well, most people don't have mentors. Mm-hmm. Someone who's playing at a level and doing the things that they aspire to do.
Yeah.
You know, I recently had a discussion with a young man that's in his early 40s. I asked him, I said, do you have a mentor? He said, no. I said, do you mentor? He said, no. I said, that's a problem.
That's right. Because from a sports analogy, you think about those who golf, they get really good because they're teaching other people.
I'm an avid golfer.
Are you?
I love it.
I was a caddy in high school, so I can appreciate the discipline that comes along with that. And I remember, you know, my parents also, you know, played golf when I was younger, and they still do. But them always saying, notice how good that golfer is, because they're going back to the fundamentals. And so they're teaching that person, which is making them sharpen their own skills.
I like what you just stated. Learning the fundamentals. Because, mm-hmm, see, you can practice incorrectly. Mm. Which means, and you can play the game incorrectly. And golf is nothing but a microcosm of life. It really is.
Yeah, explain that.
Because, I mean, when you're playing golf, you're not playing against other people. You're playing the course. In the game of life, you're not playing against other people. You're playing the course, of life.
That's right.
So there's different things that you need to understand. If the wind is blowing a certain way, how do you set up? You need to understand angles. You need to understand the grass. Same thing in life when it comes to especially investing money. You know, do you have a budget? Most people don't have a budget, so they have no idea what's coming in and what's going on. I don't know if they don't want to know. It's finance. It's one of those taboo subjects. Yeah. It kind of scares them. I liken to, you ever had a dirty home and you finally cleaned it up?
Who hasn't?
And the feeling that you have, like, dun, 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 dun,
yes,
I have a clean home, you feel real good. Yes. Same thing. You clean up your credit, you know, you feel good because now you know that you're credit worthy. You can go out and buy things. And what most people don't do, they work on someone's job for 30, 40, 50 years and they never own a business.
And the conversation's never brought up to them. See, I would liken it to the credit chat of not wanting to know, to almost like genetics, okay? Because you hear, you have these different companies that say, hey, learn about your ancestry. And then you sign up and they keep asking you again and again and again, are you sure you want to know? Are you sure you want to know? They give you outs because some people, they say they want to know,
right?
But they don't want to know. And then, because once they do, they can't say they didn't know.
Well, they have to do something about it.
That's true. And so that's how, to me, I look at the but you're the expert, but how the, I'm speaking for the common person over here.
I'm a common person too now.
But I mean, no, because you're really good at what you're doing. I'm just saying, I see that now because, maybe because I've recently done so. And again, 5 and 6 times you're given the out of, are you sure you want to know? Are you sure you want to know about your background? Yeah, that's why I signed up for this.
Right.
But they're obviously doing that because some people get to a point where they really don't want to know. They just want to say they did it, and that's that.
And I would probably say, you know, there's some truth to that because we really have to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And so we have to have the discussion. And we have to have the discussion at, you know, a grassroots level. So when do we have it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do we bring it into the community to say, hey, listen, there's a better way, you know? So it's one thing to tell someone, but what have you put into place to show them how to do it?
Do you think, and I'm talking to you now as a parent,
mm-hmm.
do you think that we are behind the curve in talking to children, like waiting until high school, your 12th grade year, because some kids don't even know how to balance a checkbook, but waiting that long to talk finances.
We should reach our children as early as they have the comprehension of understanding what money is. Now, the difference between the wealthy and the poverty mindset, the wealthy has retreats with their kids that is paid for through the business,
mm-hmm.
so they can explain to them, these are our family assets. This is how we protect our assets. In the event of our demise, this is the succession strategy. Those are the type of discussions that the wealthy have with their children early on.
Right.
You know, so transversely, we most definitely should be doing the same thing in our own household. Every one of our children and grandchildren, when they get to a certain age, we make sure that they have their own bank accounts, teen accounts. They're using debit cards so they can understand and knowing that, hey, listen, just because you have a card doesn't mean that you might have money in the bank. Know what you have in there and what are you spending. And if you're spending lavishly, we're going to have a discussion.
And that discussion gets very real. If you're just tuning in to the Community Roundtable, welcome. And if you've been listening, then you know we have been listening to a Mobile native, very proud Mobile native. How did you get your name, by the way? Because some people call you Kim, yes? Some people call you Kimberly.
Yes.
Where did that name come from?
My mother, who...
You're smiling.
my mother, I love her to death, but Kimberly Clark.
Oh, yeah.
She thought it had a T in it and thought it was Kimberly. And that was the name. So I still think I'm the only Kimberly on the planet.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what? Be unique.
I love the uniqueness of it. I've never shied away. I've never tried to use my middle name or a version of it.
Uh-huh.
I embrace being me.
I love the way, and I laugh and I smile because I love unique. And I love when you rock it like it's your own business. And it is. And that name's on this book.
Yes, it is.
We're talking about his book, Salary Rich and Retirement Poor. I'm going to open up a couple pages. And I love that it's an easy read, by the way. Because sometimes you open these books and you close it and you say, never mind.
Right.
But
well, I purposely designed a book for people of a certain age.
I love that.
You do not need to put on glasses
okay.
to read the book.
Look, say no more. So the table of contents, you talk about everything from pre-retirement planning, mm-hmm. understanding tax liabilities, answering the tough questions, maximizing your retirement income, understanding the federal TSP, executing your retirement strategies, wealth gap closure strategies, and more.
Yes.
What advice would you give a person, let's say it's a new family, they're married, just had their first baby. What do they need to put aside? What do they need to do for this child to make sure that when this child gets to college age, no matter what has happened to the parents, they at least have something?
Well, I tell people, invest early and often. You know, what most people fail to do is pay themselves first. So, and I literally just had this conversation with someone, and they gave me, in the book, I give an example of a $100,000 salary and how we can get your effective tax rate down to single digits. People say, how in the world can you do that? Mm-hmm. I say, well, think in terms of if you have the ability to max out, you know, so to max out on your 401k, that's $20,500. Mm-hmm. If you're 50 and older, you get another $6,500. That's $27,000 off the top that goes into your account. It's generating interest.
But don't touch it, though.
You can't, don't touch it.
Okay.
So remember, that money is still parked. Mm-hmm. Well, you have your medical that you get to deduct from that. So for people that's at that income level, that's about $4,500. You get to move that aside. Now you're talking about you're doing itemized, standard deduction, or itemized deductions. Just for kicks and giggles, we'll say that the person is single, they don't have a home, and they do just say a basic standard deduction. Mm-hmm. That's another $12,400.
You're racking up some money here.
So you're racking up some money. So now remember, $12,400 is still yours. Mm-hmm. So now you're left with probably about right around $50,000, $52,000. That's what you're paying taxes on.
You make it so easy to understand with your tone, your demeanor. Tell me this as we wrap up. Is tax day like your Super Bowl? Like, do you love to talk numbers?
Yes. Yes, I am I'm a nerd by numbers. I love numbers because the numbers, if done right, if they're not manipulated, they're not going to lie to you.
Well, how can we support you? How can we pick up your book?
Well, you can go to my website at www.wppublishingllc.com. That's wppublishingllc.
And we'll share all that with our podcast once we post it. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
We always love to support local, and especially when you're doing your part to make sure you've got money in the bank.
Yes, and it's a great Christmas gift.
I'm glad you said it. Grateful to have you. Great to meet you. And keep it tuned to the Soundmobile station. Thanks for tuning in. 251 now, Kelly Finley.